Felice is going to get there. There's no question. He squares it. There it is. It's another. And it's Mumble Rodriguez again, scoring goals left and right. Felice with the assist.
Welcome back to another episode of the Houston Dynapod podcast. A mouthful to say. I know, I've been told. With us today is a surprise. It's last minute, you would say, right, Nathan?
Yeah, I'd say it's quite a last minute. In the past half hour here or so.
Last minute guest for a surprise pregame episode about our Houston Dynamo and his Vancouver Whitecaps. So, Nathan, before we jump in, tell us a little bit about your show, Terminal City FC Podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a podcast here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We follow, obviously, the Whitecaps, the men's and women's national teams throughout Canada and their progression in the various tournaments they have. My partner and I are also fans of the European game. So I'm a Spurs fan. He's a Chelsea guy. So that gives us some good London talk to go back and forth with you as well.
I am so happy for Chelsea right now, aren't you?
Oh, man. You know what? I am, but I'm also bittersweet because sometimes you want a rival that you love to hate, too. So
we still have those Woolwich Wanderers, those fuckers from the other side of North London.
Well, we also got Arsenal. We've got West Ham and, you know, the shit that they do, too. So,
yeah, no, Arsenal's who I was talking about with the Woolwich. I don't know if do you ever listen to Tottenham podcast at all?
Yep.
Which is your favorite?
I there used to be one a long time ago with a group called eSpurs. I used to do some work with them way, way back in the day. But lately, I don't know. I mean, I still love listening to Alistair Gold and a lot of the stuff that he does. So I got to say, you know, he's the expert when it comes to anything Spurs. He's the guy that's in the room.
Yeah, he has a podcast out now. I saw. Yeah. And I am a Fighting Cock Extra Inch all the way. In that order. If they're both out at the same time, it's Fighting Cock all day.
Sounds good.
So, our season so far, topic number one. Now, we, like you, have not won a game. You guys haven't won either, right?
Yeah, we're still kind of waiting on that.
Yeah, us too. We've been waiting a while. And we're 0-1-1 with a goal differential of -1 because we have not yet scored. And we've allowed one goal allowed on the road to SKC. And so far here in Houston, which I have no idea how you guys feel about your club. We used to have a Whitecaps fan in our Discord, and he's a great guy. I had him on the show last year after we played him. And basically, from what he explained about Vancouver, you guys are kind of like us as far as the support is kind of waning, like through a tough time, is what he made it seem like. Is that true?
You know what? I mean, yeah, you can say that. I mean, especially when it comes to the Whitecaps, there's a lot of off-field storylines that have been going on for the past couple of decades that's really pushed people away from the club. We're starting, hopefully, to see things move in the right direction. There's been a lot of changes when it comes to management and front office, and we're seeing good changes, but we're not quite there yet. I think a lot of people are just still, they're kind of hedging their bets. We've got a really, really strong supporter group and just supporter sides. But for the everyday fan, I mean, it's not quite there yet.
So I read an interesting article today that led me to tweet a shit-talking joke about Vancouver. Apparently, your COO just resigned for covering up sexual misconduct.
Yeah. Rachel Lewis. She's been with the club, actually, for quite a number of years. I think it was back, even as far back as 2003. So, like I said, like it's this off-field stuff that's been going on. The Whitecaps have been embroiled in some sexual assault scandals for a number of years. Two with coaches, one that was involved with players. Yeah, the ones with players, that one we don't really hear a lot about. But the ones with coaches have really come to light over the past 2 years. I mean, one of the guys, he was actually the current coach of the Jamaican national team. There was another guy that was he moved from Whitecaps to Canada Soccer. He'd been involved in a bunch of other stuff. And the thing is a lot of this, like the internal investigation that happened really just swept things under the rug. Nothing was ever done. And she was one of four executives that was a part of this investigative panel that was looking at it. Well, Major League Soccer took over the investigation, and they've been running their own since last year, about the summer of last year. That's still underway, and all four of those executives have been put on administrative leave since then. But she has now said, as of, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, she's stepped away, looking for new opportunities, you know, yada, yada, yada. We don't know what she pushed out the door, or she's just decided that administrative leave, you know, simply isn't her thing. But I mean, from our perspective, it's one of four that are gone. We're still waiting for the others to, you know, to ship out as well.
You know, you talked about you support the Canadian men's team, and the best player in the Western Hemisphere does play for Canada, and his name is Alphonso Davies. I think when you compare him position wise, right, you can't compare him to a Pulisic or an Irving Lozano, but when you look at where he is for his spot, I believe he's one of the best left backs in the world. And he's, what is he, 22? He's by far the best player on the Canadian team. And yeah. I think he's better than any of the American players, including Pulisic. And as far as Mexico goes, them too, because I don't like them that much. But we recently, I'm sure you've heard this, we have come to an agreement with Hector Herrera, who, being 4 hours from the Mexican border, us signing Herrera would be the equivalent of like the Whitecaps getting a guy like Alphonso Davies. Like, who is another big Canadian player? Like, we have Tyler Pascher, who has suited up for you guys, and he is a backup for us. Although a lot of people feel like he should be starting, and statistically, I agree. He just tends to get hurt so quick. But who else is like one of the big names that would have an impact similar to what Herrera is going to have here?
Do you mean, sorry, impact of a Whitecaps player that's on the Canadian?
So here's what I mean. Let me elaborate. I'm sorry.
No worries.
We have a massive Mexican population here in Houston. Okay. And our Caucasian population is very indifferent to soccer. They love baseball. We're huge in baseball. I think the Astros are the biggest draw here. The Texans have been good, but they're terrible. But our Caucasian group doesn't follow soccer. They follow other sports. So we know this as supporters, and we have clamored for a Mexican international to bring these fans to our stadiums, like when Chicharito came to MLS. I don't like him anyway, but that would have been an ideal signing. But this guy, Herrera, he is going to, we believe, fill the stands and bring a completely new energy because of his ties to the demographic of Mexican people here. So I guess what I mean is Vancouver is Canadians, right? Okay, so Canadians. So you think Davies would have that type of impact?
Well, I mean, Davies actually got his start with Vancouver, right? I mean, he came up through our academy system. He was playing for the first team when he was like 15 years old, eventually when he got sold from the Whitecaps to go to Bayern Munich. And I mean, he had that draw because we just saw this raw potential. I mean, it was almost as if his feet was faster than his brain when he was a teenager. And, you know, now everything's kind of caught up. In terms of a player that the Whitecaps have right now that would have that similar draw, I don't know. I can't really say that there is one, especially that is a Canadian player that would draw Canadians. The one player that I would say that's really started to have the fan base galvanized around him is Ryan Gaul, who we just recently got. He's a Scottish player. We got him from, he was actually playing in Portugal, of all places. But, you know, him slotting in kind of that attacking midfielder position behind strikers, his level of creativity is something that the Whitecaps have been sorely, sorely missing for a number of years. So it's brought that entertainment factor that so many people were sorely missing. I can't really name a Canadian player that does the same right now on the squad. I mean, you know, we have one of our designated players with Lucas Cavallini. That's been a little bit hit and miss for us because he's been plagued with injuries since he came here up from Mexico. Yeah, I mean, the only other Canadian player I would say that really, really galvanized Whitecaps fans around him was Max Crapo, and now he's with LAFC, unfortunately.
Yeah, he was with y'all last year, wasn't he? Because I remember talking about him last year.
He was with us last year and about 2 years before that as well. I think he was with us for about three and a half years.
Yeah. So your season so far, how would you rate it, A through F? Do you guys have Ds in Vancouver? Like, we have some places here we skip D and we go straight from C to F.
Yeah, we got the whole A, B, C, D, F.
All right,
I don't know. C plus, B minus. It's been very as expected, but I don't know. I don't know. Do you guys have needs improvement?
For us or for you?
For you guys.
Oh, yes. Yes. So when you were talking about your creative number 10, Gall, all I heard was this is the one that we need to go studs up on, because we don't have that. We have a creator, Darwin Quintero. He's 35 years old. He's no longer a 90-minute player. Our next best creator is 22 years old and he's Panamanian, and he hasn't really lived up to the promise. His name's Coco Carrasquilla. We don't have one. We need what you guys have. We need that type of player, because up top, we just paid $4.5 to $6.5 million, depending on how well he does, for a Paraguayan striker, Sebastian Ferreira. And he looks like the real deal. On the left, you have Fafa Pico, who's a journeyman, but last year he scored 11 goals. He led us in goals and assists. And on the right is Corey Baird, who's been fucking awful. And then Tyler Pasher, who a lot of fans think should start. But we don't have anybody to get on the ball. So our season so far has been quite boring. Like, we look at our inability to link play from the midfield to the forwards. There's nothing there. And which brings us to our ideal lineups. Because now there's ideal lineup and predicted, like the lineup that you would like to see versus the lineup the coach is probably going to pick. Because here in Houston, it's so different. But this is you first. Your ideal lineup for your Vancouver Whitecaps when they come here to get thumped in a couple of days.
Yeah, looking at the your guys' home record against us, thumped, you got the history on your side, that's for sure. I mean, for us, there's a lot of what our predicted lineup and what our desired lineup. It's going to be much of the same. The one thing that we have is we still have a few injury issues that we're trying to deal with. So that kind of restricts us in a few ways. Our back line, it's not going to change from what you saw when we were playing NYCFC. We have Thomas Asol in nets. He's our number one goalkeeper. He's starting right now. He's the guy that's taken over the shoes from Crapo since he's left. Our back line, it'll be a back three, right? Playing with wing backs up the side, even pushing up a little bit higher as full-on wingers. But we have
I love that formation ever since Antonio Conte's taken over Tottenham. I've fallen in love with it. Oh, my God. All right, I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
No. I love it, too. The only difference is when it comes to the Whitecaps, they tried an experiment last week on playing with inverted wing backs. I'm not too sure if it's working there, and that's something that Conte doesn't do. I kind of like more traditional wing backs. You can run just that final third of the pitch just becomes so much more open along the sides. Yeah. Where wing backs that are inverted, just cut inside, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, six guys standing on top of each other. Yeah. But we're going to be playing with the back three. It's going to be Veselinovic, Tristan Blackmon that we just got from LAFC as well, and Florian Youngworth, who definitely another fan favorite since he's come on. He reminds me a lot, actually, we're talking about Spurs, of Christian Romero, right? He's got that edge to his game.
He's so good. He's so much fun to watch. And his shithousery is like top notch. What he did to Richarlison. Oh, my God. I love
him. Did you see the tweet that he put out afterwards? It was literally him standing over the guy, right?
No, I hadn't. But I know, like I love Eric Dier because he went into the stands to defend his brother.
Yeah, that was perfect.
And I'm like, all right, I love him. Glad he's come around. But Romero brings that Latino flavor.
He's got an edge to his game, right?
And he never looks mad.
Yeah.
He's always just... I was
not expecting that from a guy coming from the Italian league.
And he goes by the name Cutie Romero. I think you say it's Cutie. So, and he's kind of cute.
Yeah, I saw that. I wasn't sure if it was Cutie or if I was pronouncing it right, but
Cutie, yeah. All right.
Our midfield, it's going to be – Gold is going to be at the top of the triangle, right? We're going to have – it'll be Russell Tybert, who's, you know, longstanding, you know, played the most games ever in a Whitecap shirt. He's got more than 10 years on him. And it will probably be Leonard Owusu beside him. The Tybert and Owusu seem to complement each other, and especially if the Whitecaps decide not to go with a more defensive-minded midfielder, those two are able to kind of go box to box. They can run the length of the pitch. And, you know, drop back when the back three need help. On the sides, if they decide to keep up with their inverted wing back experiments, it's going to be Christian Dahomey and Christian Gutierrez. Gutierrez will be on the right. Dahomey will be on the left. Not my first choice. I'd switch the two, but I think that is what it is. The other one you might see is Javaine Brown play as well. You know, he started to get some time with the Jamaican national team. He was probably our outstanding rookie last year, but I don't know if he's just tired from, you know, all his international call-ups or what it is, but he hasn't had the best start to the season. So I'm looking to see him on the bench right now. At the top, it's going to be Diver Caicedo. He's kind of made that position for himself. But they've been playing with two at the top lately. And with Brian White still injured, he's still coming off a right foot contusion. He has been training full time, but actually just before you and I came on here, they did announce that he wouldn't be starting. So it's going to be Lucas Cavallini, which, I mean, you know, it's tough to have a DP that costs that much sitting on the bench anyway. It's just a matter of time waiting for him to start producing.
So this is I used to do pregames like on my own. So like when I started my show, I would just talk, which I can do. I can do that. I'm able to just go without like breaks. It seems natural. And I would do these research into these pregames. And I'm going to tell you right now, what you just did is better than any description of an opposing team I've ever done. Because after the Dynamo, I don't watch fucking anyone. Tottenham, Dynamo, that's it. Like I don't do that. I watch Premier League matches. Every now and again, I'll watch a certain La Liga or Bundesliga match. But I don't watch anybody other than my team because, like, I don't need to. There's so many. How are you going to know everybody?
Not only that, but, you know, name the all the other sports that you probably watch as well, right? I mean, you just can't fit it in the day.
I don't actually watch any other ones. I'm a New York Jets fan. I haven't had a reason to watch in 10 years. I'm a New York Knicks fan. I haven't had a reason to watch in 15. I'm a Mets fan, and, well, they're supposed to be good every year, and they suck. So I don't really watch any other sports but soccer. I used to watch it religiously whenever it was on. And eventually it was just like, I found other things to do. I started a podcast. So it's, you know, kind of cuts into the time, although it's, you know, research-based, but much better than any description I've ever given. And you talked about our history. Yes, last year, you guys were the first win we had for a long time. Like we won and then we didn't win again for quite some time. Yeah. And I think you guys are good for us right now. Like right now, we're like a woman who's been a little bit mentally abused, and you're the sweet gentleman. Like you're not attractive ish. Like you're not like really hot, but you're kind of cute, but you're just sweet enough, a little overweight that you're like, oh, you make us feel good about ourselves. And you're what we need at this time, because I think history is going to, I hope it does. We got to at least score. If we draw and we score, that'll be good for us because our fans are, they're impatient. So for us here's what you're going to see. Our ideal lineup, my ideal lineup for me, Steve Clark in net. He comes from Portland. He just lost in the MLS Cup and he's been phenomenal. Left back, Adam Lundqvist. He's Swedish. He's an above average left back. He crosses the ball above average. He does everything a little bit above average. And he's pretty resilient and tough. And there's nobody else that's going to play that spot. That's his. Center backs. We have three options here. But I would like to see Teenage Adebi on the left. He's a left-footed Zimbabwean international. He's one of our designated players. Last year, he came in and he ended up being the top-performing defender. He outperformed the guy next to him, who you probably know, Tim Parker. He's been all over, and he's been quite bad for us. Last year, he was our worst-rated defender, and we never took him out. And I think he was our worst-rated defender because we never took him out. I think they went hand-in-hand. But this year, he hasn't come off either.
Surprising to hear about him.
Yeah, but we were awful last year. We were in last place, but his performance, his ratings, I think he averaged out of a 6.4, 6.5. He was our lowest rated consistent defender. Like the backups were lower, but they're supposed to be. But he's, you know, he's good in the box. He's good defending headers. It's just, he hasn't quite been there. Now, next to him is one that we're all pretty excited about. He's also our highest rated player in FIFA, according to Twitter. His name is Zeca. There's a lot more to it than that, but he's from Brazil. He's got a really long fucking name. He's fast. He's athletic. He was a gold medalist in the Brazilian national team. He comes from Independiente. He's played for some big clubs in Brazil and in South America. And he looks like he will give us what we haven't had there, which has been Zerick Valentin, who's not an attacking threat whatsoever. Like we run a 4-3-3. It's what you're going to see. And we like to use the fullbacks to get up the pitch. But Zerick Valentin is so non-attacking. He was basically a right midfielder when he played. They shifted the right side up so he could get up there because he doesn't have the pace to do it. But this guy does. Midfield, my listeners are not going to be happy with my picks because I got Matias Vera, who's a no-brainer. He's from Argentina. He was our defensive MVP last year, or runner-up. He's our highest-rated player thus far this year, and he's been lights out. He can also score every now and again. He's primarily a defensive midfielder, a six, right? I think it's a six is what they call it. I'm learning the numbers. He can score. He's hit a couple of long shots from outside the box. But if you see that, you guys have lost. It doesn't happen very often. And when it does, it's because he had to shoot. Next to him, he'd be in the middle. I would have Memo Rodriguez on the left. This is the one that everybody's going to hate me for. He's a homegrown. He's an academy kid. He's from an hour away. He's been very below average. He would be a star in USL. But in MLS, he is a bench player. However, the guy behind him who's probably going to start is not a 90-minute player. So this is why I picked Memo Rodriguez. He's not going to really offer much in attack. He's going to probably get a yellow card and piss your players off. The one that we're kind of excited about is Coco Carrasquilla. This is the creator in midfield who one of our announcers is not too high on because Coco really hasn't performed and lived up to his billing. He was actually at one point scouted and talked to by Real Madrid. Like Real Madrid looked at him. Yeah. When he was, I don't remember, but he came from Cartagena, a team in La Liga 2. He came from Spain. And he's been okay, but you can see it's there. Our three wingers, you're going to see Fafa Pico on the left. He's going to knock the ball past you. He's going to invert. He can cross with his left foot. He did lead the team in assists last year, as well as goals. Next to him is Sebastian Ferreira. He is our DP striker that cost a club record transfer fee of roughly $6.5 million. He hasn't scored yet. We've barely gotten him the ball. The only time he's touched the ball is when he played like Harry Kane did in Jose Mourinho's system when he came back at the top of the box. And next to him is another one. Oh, they're going to hate me. But I am sticking with Corey Baird. He's from LAFC. He's a United States guy. I think he was rookie of the year his first year here. He's kind of been tailing off. He got hurt last year, torn ACL is what it said. But he's been so bad. He's been so bad. I know that with our history, I think this is why I think you guys would be good for him too. Because he's been awful. And everybody's like benching for Pasher. Everybody wants Pasher. But Pasher isn't a 90-minute guy. And when you play Tyler too much, he gets hurt. So, oh man, that was a lot to say. And it says that I should go first. But the predicted lineup. Shit. So predicted lineup, now that I've told you about our guys, I'll do this first. You ready?
Yeah,
I think our coach is going to almost run out the same thing. Almost. Two changes. He will have Daniel Stettis as the left-sided center back because he's been there already, even though he's right-footed. And he's done well. In preseason, when I watched him, I was like, get this guy out of my club. He is awful. What did we do? But in the regular season, he's been lights out. He's been very good. The midfield, I believe you will not see Memo Rodriguez. You will see Darwin Quintero. And that's the rumor. There's a guy that works. He works at our stadium. I don't know what he does there. He could do marketing. He could clean toilets. I have no idea. But he posts leaks, and they're actually pretty accurate. And his leak is Quintero is starting, which is why I'm going with this. Up top, I think you're going to see the same forwards, and people are going to be mad that Corey Baird is out there. But I predict that Corey Baird will score or have an assist in this game. That's like my big prediction. What's going to be the changes from yours? Or did you do that too?
You know what? I kind of gave you kind of both of mine together at the same time. I would say the only one that might be a bit of a change is we got another young kid at the tail end of last year, Pedro Vite. This guy has the potential to be really, really exciting. He's another fast, creative midfielder, can play on the wing as well. He is someone who might be ready for his first start. If he comes in, I would say I would expect him to maybe take the place of Dahomey on the left wing, possibly even Owusu in midfield, if they're looking to have Tybert drop back a little bit and just kind of sit in front of the back three. Other than that, I mean, unless they make a game time decision on Brian White that he is good to go, I mean, he has been training full time, then he will slot in right away. I mean, he was our number one goal scorer last year, and he only played for us for half the season. So, I mean, they're just dying to get him in. He did play half an hour last game. Wasn't really able to get a whole lot kind of going in the last half hour. It kind of seemed like both the Caps and New York FC were kind of done after 60 minutes. No one was really playing to get the win. So I think if they can get him in to start, they will take that any day of the week. I just don't think he will be ready. And that's what's being reported right now. I think the lineup I gave you is kind of what I expect. The only one I could say is that you might see Pedro Vite slot in.
What is your score prediction for Saturday night's delta of a match between, I don't know, 10th and 11th?
It's funny because we had the exact same record as you guys with two games in. We have a much worse goal difference, and that's because our first game was kind of a one-sided slaughter against us. Our back line is strong. I have no problem with it. Tristan Blackmon is brand new. He's only played two games with us, but he was the best guy on the pitch for us.
He's good. He's good. I've had to cover him because of some pre-games. He's good. He'll be fine.
Last game, he won 100% of his duels. He had the most aerials and most clearances of any player on the pitch. So I'm not too worried about him either. I hate to say it. We have no one on right now that's going to score goals. I hate to say it. I'm almost looking at another 0-0 draw. And I'd say if the Whitecaps get that, I'd walk away with it.
So we've been very good defensively and we've been terrible offensively. Our XGA is only like 1.5 in two matches. But our XG through two matches is like 0.65. We've been incredibly bad.
Your XG is better than ours. We were 0.2 in the first game, 0.5 in the second.
Well, no, ours total over two is 0.65.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are 0.05 of a point.
I thought that was your average.
We are still the king of shit mountain, sir. We have the worst XG. It hasn't been good, but we haven't had our best creators in there. In the preseason, we looked good. Now, my score prediction, I think we're going to win 2-1. And I hate the fact that I think y'all are going to score. But I think there's been such a push to be offensive, it's going to lead to a goal allowed. I think we're going to do so much trying to move forward and get out of this funk we're in with scoring and creating, that it's going to open something up in the back line and you guys will get a goal.
I mean, we do have goal scorers that are on the pitch. We just don't have a number one guy out there. We have Gold, who makes everyone else around him look better. You're going to see Caicedo. He will put pressure on the net. Cavallini, for as much hope as we all have, I mean, the guy hasn't scored since last summer, and he's the most expensive player that we've ever paid for. I think we paid about $5 million US for him.
He's got a great name, though. I mean, the name alone.
El Tanque, right? I mean,
makes me hungry because to me, he sounds Italian.
He does. I mean, even when he speaks, I mean, he definitely sounds it. But he grew up here.
Italian.
But he's played. He played in Mexico. He played in Uruguay. He's traveled around a little bit. But for as strong as he is, the one thing I like about Cavallini is even though he's not scoring, he's doing everything else right. He's actually kind of like a Harry Kane, where he is dropping back quite a lot lately to try and bring in his strike partner. You have Dahomey that has scored. It's a brand new position for him, playing him as a wingback. He's usually further up the park. So, you know, it's going to take time for him to make that position his. It's just, there's just a lot of moving pieces. It wasn't much of a preseason to really try and get anything done. We only really played one MLS team in our preseason.
Yeah, because you guys couldn't come up there.
No. And we went down to California. We played the Galaxy, and then we played a bunch of USL teams. That was it.
We went to Tucson, Arizona, which is an odd place to go. And we played Colorado RSL, Phoenix Rising, and another MLS team. But that brings me to my hidden topic. Who's your biggest rival, and how much do you hate them?
Vancouver's kind of weird. We're caught in between two different rival groups, and we're kind of like the bastard child of both of them. You've got the Canadian teams, and you've got this huge rivalry between TFC and Montreal. And then you've got Vancouver, that, you know, just kind of being the younger brother that kind of just, you know, stirs shit up. Then you've got Cascadia with us, Seattle, and Portland. Well, Seattle and Portland hate each other, And both of them are kind of indifferent when it comes to Vancouver. And Vancouver, we, you know, we just try to, again, stir shit up because we're just looking for a rivalry. If we had our biggest rivalry.
You're Austin. You are but with less people at your stadium and not as loud on Twitter. You just described Austin to a fucking T, which is where I was going with this. Oh my God, keep going.
Well, the sad thing is that Austin's barely been around the league, and we've been around for, you know, a decade plus, right?
Yeah, they're quite loud.
Yeah, you know what? Our biggest rivalry right now, and it has nothing to do with MLS, it would have to do with the Canadian Championship, which is our domestic cup here in the country, would be probably with Montreal. Whenever we get to the Canadian Championship and we play Montreal, there's bad blood in that relationship just because in years and years and years ago, there was a two-match away and home draw where we feel that Montreal basically tanked a game against Toronto so that it wouldn't allow us to qualify because it was basically a three-team round robin back in the day before we had Premier League. So there's a lot of, like, you'll see when Montreal plays Vancouver, you'll see a lot of signs in which says "Je me souviens," right? You know, like, we remember back in the day, things like that. But again, to me, it almost feels like it's manufactured a little bit. As far as our rival goes, yeah, it's, I don't know. We love Cascadia games because you know, you want to win the Cascadia Cup, and it's the only thing that the Whitecaps have really won in the past few years. And then we have the Canadian teams, which, I mean, they're so far on the east that, you know, it's like we're kind of a footnote when it comes to Canada. So I can't really consider that.
Yeah, when you said we're just looking for a rivalry, you described the ugly stepsister of the real MLS Texas clubs. Some of our guys call them Aston. Aston FC. Yeah, ours would be FC Dallas. You know, we have a history with them. We had a guy literally kick one of them when he was down, Carter Clark. Oh, he kicked him hard. He did not pull the kick. He kicked through the man. And it's been a pretty heated rivalry. But I will say one thing about our supporters groups is they range from "we love everybody," the Surge, shout out, to "we will fuck you up." So if you are a Vancouver fan and you are coming to this match, and by some chance you're listening, don't be too loud. And make sure you sit away from the supporter sections because, man, last year it got so bad here. We had fans going to the game with bags on their heads. This supporters group was ripping bags off people's heads. I get it. I'm not for it.
You guys have your own ultras group.
Parent fucking league. And, you know, because back in the day when Houston first got a team, it was huge. We set attendance records in Texas. We still have them, 30,000+ people. And we won two titles and an Open Cup, four Western Conferences, the league twice, and an Open Cup. So we started off quite strong, and it was packed. And everything was, like, vibrant and shiny and new and amazing. And then ownership changed, and it went down the toilet. And we were shit for so long. You couldn't fill half the stadium. But we have a new owner and he's spending money. We are absolutely in love with him. But that brings us to the part where you once again plug your show for everybody listening out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you ever are interested in Whitecaps news, Europe transfers, and anything to do with the Canadian teams, men's or women's, the Terminal City Podcast. You can check us out on Spotify. You can also follow me on Twitter at @ndurek. That's N-D-U-R-E-C. My co-host is Joshua Ray. He's at Joshua Ray, R-E-Y 91. And we'd love to have you on and keep doing stuff like this with you as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. This was good. This went pretty. We'd like set this up, 15 minutes before we got on?
Yeah, pretty much.
I was talking to the other guy and I was like, oh man, I was supposed to ask you earlier because I was telling you before, they're new like I am. And I remember, like, I'm a solo show. It was hard to get with people. Like, I wouldn't go talk to people. Like, a little antisocial. But I was like, man, this would be good for both of us. Because, to be honest, you gave a much, much better breakdown of what we're going to see than I ever could have. Because Wikipedia only tells you so much.
Yeah, Wikipedia. Well, you know what? I mean, it's always nice to just bounce something off everyone. And yeah, my partner couldn't be here today because he also covers the Canucks in the NHL. So, and they've got a game later on today. So
he also said there were some noisy home repairs going on.
Yeah, he's got that too, but he's going to use the Canucks as his excuse.
Oh, I'm a Rangers fan. I do follow hockey.
Hey, I grew up in Edmonton. I'm an Oilers guy from the 80s.
So. You guys had Messier and Gretzky just like we did. You just had them at a different time.
Oh, man. When I was playing hockey, those and were the Luke guys Robitaille. That were handing us trophies.
And Robitaille. You had Robitaille. You got – who was your keeper?
Andy Moog, Bill Ranford. I mean, you name
it. You guys were stacked.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking stacked.
Well, that was the joke, right? It didn't matter how many goals were scored against us. We just get more.
Everybody right now is like, wait a minute. What the fuck is hockey? Because we're in Houston. Like, we had a team before, and it's gone. I wish we did. Hockey games are so much fun. Hockey games are the most fun to go watch.
Oh, I love it, especially because you're sitting right over the ice, right? It's such a compact atmosphere.
Yeah, and it's nonstop. It's like soccer, but you can punch each other in the face. And we get sent off and come back. Yeah, it's great. So, guys and girls, that brings us to the end of the show. This has been the Houston Dynapod Podcast. I'm your host, Finister. Thanks once again to our guest. And as always, go Dyna.
Albert Vallese is going to get there. There's no question. He squares it. There it is. It's another. And it's Bubba Rodriguez again, scoring goals left and right. Vallese with the assist.
Big shout out to my favorite band, Familiar with Failure, for the introductory music. You can find them at FWFTX on all social media platforms. Once again, that's Familiar with Failure. Check them out. Badass band, cool ass people.